Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Issues Concerning Women, the radio talk show. I am your host, Francine Humphrey, and my co-host is Veronica McMillan of the Micro Nonprofit Network Incorporated. Today, Veronica is out and about and she's on assignment, so she will not be with me tonight. But if this is your first time tuning in to our show, just want to say thank you for tuning in. If you're a longtime listener, I would like to thank you as well. We have a great following here on the Issues Concerning Women radio show, and we thank you so much. So welcome to Issues Concerning Women. As I stated, I'm Francine Humphrey, and I am the CEO and co-founder of Issues Concerning Women. We started this organization in about 2007, so this is our 11th year in business. So yay, we are so happy, yes. We are definitely so happy about that, and we're doing some great things to wrap up this year. And so I want to just encourage you to get your pencil and paper because I want to talk to you tonight a little bit about your finances. And Veronica McMillan is the CEO and founder of the Micro Nonprofit Network Incorporated, and she helps small micro nonprofits to become fundamentally strong through education, coaching, mentoring, and program development for 501c3 organizations. We offer advocacy services to infuse and stabilize households and foster a sense of community involvement, self-worth, and self-determination. So if you're interested in learning more about what we do, I will definitely give you the information so you can contact us. If you want to contact me after the show, my telephone number is 757-567-6734, and you can call me anytime, and if I'm not available, I will definitely give you a call back. If you're trying to reach Veronica, you can reach her by her going to her website, which is www.micrononprofitnetwork.com, just like it sounds, MicroNonprofitNetwork.com, or you can go to letstalkveronica@gmail.com. So if you're interested, please contact her, and she'll be more than happy to discuss anything to do with forming your nonprofit. So without further ado, tonight I'm going to be talking to you about a little bit about finance, about your credit, where we are in our businesses and in our nonprofits, because the one thing that we definitely want to be is we want to be in the black. And so we have this series that's going to be going on through from now till the end of the year. It's called Being in the Black, Top Teams Who Are Small Businesses, such as sole proprietors or partnerships, nonprofits, anybody that's in any kind of business or organization. We're definitely going to be giving you some tips and some things that you can do to help you to be in the black at the end of the year. Because if you're in the red, you know that you're not making money. Being in the black means that you have some money in the bank. So that is our goal from now until December the 31st, is to talk to you about ways that you can bring more revenue into your organizations, bring more business to your small businesses, and that way you're going to always be able to stay in the black. So you've heard the term all the time, being in the black. What does that mean? It means that you are making money, that you have money in the bank, that you are not in the hole, that you are not negative on your bank accounts. It means that you are prospering in your business. So our main concern with Issues Concerning Women when we're teaching is that sometimes the strategies may go over your head or may not be something that you're really interested in, because of course we know that when we're talking about our finances, we're listening and kind of half listening, but we're really not always listening all the time. So Veronica and I have been on a mission these last few segments to just really talk to you about where your finances are, how would you get a loan if you needed one, who would you go to talk to. So we definitely want you to keep coming in, listening to our show, so that we can give you different pointers on things that you can do to make sure that your business is not just thriving, but thriving. You know, we want you to thrive. We want you to, you know, keep the momentum, of course, but we want you to thrive. We want you to be able to be making regular deposits. We want you to be making money each and every day if you can, or at least having a strategy in place so that you know how much you need to make each month. What are your goals for doing that? And we keep talking about setting goals. I know some people don't like that, but it's what you need to do. And for me, and I'll just use myself as an example, I know how much money I need for each month. So when I'm setting up my meetings for the next month, I'm looking at how many clients I have right now, how much they're bringing in to the organization each month, and how much do I need to take care of all of my bills and plus make sure that I have enough monies to run the organization. Of course, this is not easy, and a lot of people shy away from that. They just say, I'm just going to do it, and I'm just going to keep doing it until I figure it out. But you have to have a plan. You have to have a strategy. Make sure you know how much you need. How are you going to keep the bills paid? And especially if you are in a brick and mortar, you know, you have your rent, you have your overhead. It's a little bit different than when you're a home-based business because you still have bills to pay, but it's not the extra stress. So if you have your home and then you have a business as well, there are going to be times where you're going to have to make decisions about what am I going to pay today, how am I going to do that when I haven't made enough money this month. So my goal is, and Veronica's as well, teach you how to be in the black, how to keep making money, making sure that you have everything that you need. And it may not be a whole bunch of money to start with, but you have to start somewhere. You have to start having a plan so that each and every month, at the end of the month, you're not concerned about how you're going to get your bills paid, about how you're going to be able to do the next project that you want to do, because everything costs money. Even if it's just getting your supplies and your materials available for your organization, it still costs money. Nothing's free. I mean, of course, we can do free things. You can do, you know, online and that kind of thing where you can do your flyers and posters and whatever, but it's going to come a time when you're going to want to do some other things. So you have to make sure that you have money in the bank to do the things that you want to do to grow your business. And again, it depends on where your business is at this point. If you're a new business and you're just starting up, you should have some seed money. You know, how much do you have to invest in your business? How much do you have for each month to sustain you if you're just starting out in business? Do you have 6 months worth of income so that you can continue to pay your bills at home plus run your business? And 6 months is probably not even enough for this day and time. I would say you would need to have 1 year's salary to get started in your business. That's the safe way. That way you're not straining. That way everything gets paid. So when people ask me that question, of course I would have to look at your incidentals and your finances to see what it is you really need and how you could sustain. But if you have 1 year's salary, then you're great. You're not feeling the strain. You're able to maintain each and every month, and then you're going to be able to continue to thrive in your business and be successful, because that's what it's all about. Nobody wants to be in business and be broke. We talk about that too. Who wants to be broke and be in business? Nobody wants to. We know all the time we're not making the money that we should be making, and we're trying to figure this out. How can I sustain my business and the lifestyle that I'm accustomed to if I don't have money in the bank? So we're going to keep talking about that because we want you to be in the black. So when I'm saying that black top businesses, being in the black, I'm talking about your finances, looking at who we really are and coming together to help each other, because that's how we're going to grow our businesses. We know that we can be in business alone. You know, you can be a sole proprietor. You can be the CEO and the CFO and the COO of your own organization, but you cannot be in business by yourself. You still need to have other people who pour into your organization, who guide you, have mentors, people you can look to, having that relationship with your bank so that you're able to get funds when you need them. We talked about that last week. Sitting down with somebody, looking at strategies, making a plan, setting goals. I know that it's not easy because when people start digging into your finances, you'll be like, oh, my God, they're in getting in my business. But you are in business and you need to be about your business. So you always want to be in a situation where you actually can talk to somebody, and that's where coaching comes in. That's where mentoring comes in. We offer several programs here at Issues Concerning Women. Veronica offers a program at the Micro Nonprofit Network where we're able to sit with you, talk to you. We can do a one-on-one. We have group sessions. So it's really up to you. What do you need? Where do you want to go in your business, and who can help you get there? And it may not be myself or Veronica, but it may be some other coach or some other strategist that you want to meet with, and that's fine. But just get with somebody, figure out what you need to do, how much you need to have for each and every month, and then move forward in your business. So tonight, if you don't take anything else away from what I've said, write this down. I am going to be in the black at the end of 2018. That means that I'm going to have some money in my bank account. I'm going to go out of this year with a bang and into the new year, standing up proud and prospering and being able to move my business forward. Because next year, you're going to want to do some different things. So we're going to pause on that for a moment. And so I just wanted to share some things that I've been researching, and especially about growing your business, making sure you have what you need. And one of the things that we definitely have to talk about is your credit. Where do you stand in your credit? Worthy or unworthy? Do you have enough of a high enough, and I should say high enough, credit score that you could actually go to the bank and get some funding? So what I normally tell my new business owners, if you're just looking for a little bit of seed money, you can oftentimes go to a financial institution, and usually the credit unions are a lot more easier, I would say, to get a first-time personal loan on your own signature. It's called a signature loan. You can actually go join a credit union, and you don't want to ask for the loan as soon as you join. But what you want to do is build that relationship. We keep talking about that. Veronica and I have been saying it over and over again. Build that relationship with your credit union or your bank, whoever you're going to be dealing with, whoever you want to get financing through. Build that relationship. And later on in the year, we're going to have some financial advisors and some planners to come together, and we're going to have like a roundtable discussion about what we should be doing and what we should be looking for. But if you're just starting out, and let's say you want to get $1,000, you've joined the credit union, you've opened a savings account in your business name and a checking account, so you want to do two accounts there. And then you may want to apply for a credit card or a signature loan. Now, the reason why I'm saying a signature loan, because you can normally get like $1,000 once you've been with the credit union for a while. So please talk to your credit union or your banking institution to see what their guidelines are. Talk to them. Find out when you will be able to your first loan. But the thing I want to caution you about is don't get the loan if you can't pay it back, because monthly payments are going to be due and you need to pay on time, because this is going to be your first leg up on getting financing later on. So what you want to do is start small. If you're just starting out, you just need some money for materials and supplies and that sort of thing. So get your first $1,000 or $1,500 and pay it back and pay it on time, so that now you're establishing credit. And so, and you continue to do this for that 1 year, because it's usually a 1 year process. If you want to pay it off early, of course you can, but it does help you to build your credit. So that's one way. And then the other thing that I always tell my new clients is to get you one credit card for your business. Once you've been banking with this particular institution for a while and you're paying back your loan, and then you can apply for a credit card if you don't already have one. Now, if you already have one, you don't want to overextend your credit and to get into trouble. So make sure you're keeping the amounts to where you can actually pay them, because that's the most important thing. Don't ever apply for credit, a loan or credit card, if you can't pay it. So I hope you got your pencils and paper out, because we're going to dive right into the other part of this segment tonight, and we're going to talk a little bit more about your credit score. Everybody has something to say about credit. Everybody has, you know, tips for you, but I went to the source. So I researched and I actually found some information that was written by the vice president and his name, and I was trying to find his name. His name is Ethan, and his door is, I'm going to spell it, Dornhelm. And he's the vice president of the Credit Scoring Bureau. So you can get information and go look it up for yourself because, of course, you need to be educated. So what I'm going to give you is just three other things that people tend to misunderstand or misconceptions when it comes to your score. But the first thing is your credit score is based on your payment history. It's based on how much you owe, how long you've had credit, and what types of credit you have, and how much you apply for new credit lines. So when you're applying for new lines of credit, make sure that you check to see what your FICO score is, and if you're using one of the services that are free, I would sit down with somebody who can give you your FICO score, because then your Credit Karma score or some of the other scores that are free services. So you always want to know what your true credit score is. And so your credit score lets financial institutions know that you are credit worthy, that you're able to pay the money back that you borrowed. So you definitely want to make sure, and I've said this before, if you're going to borrow money, if you're going to apply for a line of credit, make sure that you can pay it back. So the first misconception is that carrying a balance proves your credit worthiness. And so according to this article, particular article that I was reading, it states that you do not have to carry a balance to build your credit history. So again, it's been stated that this is a misconception that you must carry a balance to improve your credit score. So carrying a balance won't help your credit score, but it will cost you in interest payments. That's interesting. So did you catch that? So if you carry a balance, it's going to cost you more for that particular amount of money that you borrowed. So think about that when you are getting a line of credit or you're getting a loan and you're getting try to get a zero interest loan for 1 year or 2 years so that you don't have to pay any interest. And then if you do, pay it off quickly so that you have to pay less interest. So that's what they're saying there. Average credit card holder pays about $900 in interest every year. So if you have a $2,000 credit limit and you only pay the minimum payment each month and you carry over a balance, so you're paying extra for the interest because you continue to pay interest on the money that you have. So look at your credit card statement to see exactly how much you're paying in interest every month. So the smart thing to do is when you have a credit card, and no, sometimes we can't do this, but this is the smart way once you get your situation on track, is to pay it off each month. So if you have a $1,000 credit limit, and you spend $500 to try to pay that off each month so you're not paying interest on that and never go over 50% of your actual credit balance. So if you have $1,000 and you spend $500 a month, don't ever go over because then you will be paying more in interest. So that's the first thing that I want you to remember. And then number two, income affects your score. This is another misconception. Your income does not factor into the calculation of your FICO score. This may come from the fact that income affects your credit worthiness, but it does help credit card companies use this information to determine your interest rate. So depending on how much money you make is where your interest rate would be and what your credit score is. So your credit worthiness factors in your credit score as well as your debt-to-income ratio. So just like I just said, if you have credit cards already, try not to ever spend over 50% or charge over 50% of your actual credit amount. So if you're able to do that each month, then you will be in a better position. So lower debt and higher income proves your worthiness And more worthiness gets you a lower interest rate. So if you don't owe a lot of money out, then you can get a lower interest rate if you're paying your bills on time, because that's the other thing. Pay your bills on time. The late payments and the little ticks against you when you're late go towards your credit worthiness. So you want to make sure that you're paying your bills on time when you can. I understand sometimes we get in a little crunch and we can't do that. But again, each time that you're looking at your credit and you're looking at your finances and you're looking at how much you make, make sure that you can pay on time. So don't borrow if you can't pay it back on time. I know everybody has gotten into trouble with that. I have over the years. I made bad decisions, and I have to pay for them when I do that. So I'm not telling you something that I haven't done myself. So if you're using your credit card, make sure you can pay it back on time. And that's the second misconception. And the third misconception is you share a score with your spouse. Now, a lot of consumers believe that you and your spouse share not only a credit report but a credit score as well. Neither is necessarily true. The couple each have their own distinct credit report. So what they're saying is just because you're married and your husband or your wife has a bad credit score does not necessarily mean that you have. And so let me make that clear and so that you can understand that. The couple each have their own distinct credit report. Only once you open a joint account or take out a loan together will information be shared on both credit reports, and the actions of one can affect the other. So before you take out a loan with your husband or your wife, make sure that you can pay it back. So if you have not done that, because a lot of couples have their own accounts, they have their own charge cards, so that's their credit score. They have their own debts that they owe. But once you together take out a loan or get a credit card together, then that information will be reported to the credit bureau. So as long as you have separate cards in your own name, that score does not affect your significant other. So please understand that this is a misconception that just because my husband has bad credit, then I have bad credit if that's the case, or and vice versa. Just because the wife has bad credit, that means the husband has bad credit. No, it's not true. The only time the credit reports reflect on both of you together is when you actually open an account together and you pay the loan back on time or you don't pay it back on time. So you really want to make sure that before you get a loan that you both understand that this is going to affect my credit score. And a lot of times one has a better credit score than the other. So sometimes we, as husband and wives, we join together so that we could be stronger and more credit worthy so that we're able to get a loan. But make sure if you're going to do that, that you know that is your responsibility, whether it's in the husband's name or the wife's name, that bill has to be paid. Don't ever think just because the husband took, you know, you took the loan out together, that's the husband's responsibility. No, when you take the loan out together, is your responsibility. It belongs to the both of you. And so that is a misconception that's greatly talked about all the time. So if my husband has bad credit, then I have the credit. No, if you have joint accounts together and you don't pay your accounts, then you both get dinged on your credit score. And a couple of things that I want to share with you real quick, because I know my time is coming to an end. I know I'm giving you a lot of information. So when you use your credit card, make sure there are no fees on the credit card. And so this is number one, when not to use your credit card. When there's a fee. So if you're going to charge something or you're going to go to an ATM and they charge $4.50, don't use your card at that ATM. Go to your bank and use your credit card. You can wait another hour or so, you know, if you need to. So please make sure that you do that. If you are approaching your credit limit, make sure you don't ever go over your limit because then that looks bad on your credit score. And there's some other things that we'll talk about later. It looks bad when you max out every credit card that you have. You know, so please, please try to make sure that you have enough credit on your line of credit so that you can get what you want each month, but make sure you pay it back in a timely manner. If you hold a balance, and I told you this before, you're going to pay more interest because you're having a balance. So make sure that you know how much you have each month, how much you're going to spend, and if you can afford to pay it back. And then the last one, if you can't afford the purchase, then don't do it. If you can't afford the purchase, don't do it. If you can't afford this month, then don't do it. And I know it's so easy. You know, I've got, you know, this line of credit. I want this particular thing. And for me, I'm a shoe baby. You know, I love shoes. You know, I got to have those shoes. But I also know I got to pay it back. And is it worth me using my card to buy some shoes that I'm going to be paying for a whole year because I can't afford it? Then I can't afford it. And that's just the bottom line. So we're talking about being in the black. And what I want you to see is that if you continue to do some of the things that we've just talked about, continuing to overextend yourself in your credit, overextend yourself when it comes to shopping, buying things that you don't need at that particular moment. And now if it's an emergency, of course, by all means, I'm not going to say don't do it. But if it's just something that you just want, but it can wait until you actually have the money, then wait. So keep, make sure you know where your money is going. If you want to be in the black at the end of the year, we have to really start looking at our finances. We can't shy away from it. We got to be bold when we're looking at it. You have to listen to advice of not just me, but go to your banking institution. Sit down and talk to somebody. Let them tell you what your credit is looking like before you go and apply for new lines of credit or to get a new loan. Let's say you're planning on buying a car next year. So what you want to do this year is to make sure you begin to save for that new car so that when you, whether you have to make a down payment or not, you can have some funds towards your new purchase so that you can cut down the price of your car and you don't have to pay as much to pay it back. So just some things that I want you to think about. I know I've given you a lot of information today about your credit, about being in the black. I want you to continue to look at your business or even your personal life and see the things that you need to change so that at the end of the year, and I know we're going right into the holiday season, so this is the perfect time to start thinking about our purchases. Do I really need that? Can I afford that? Am I going to have money in my account at the end of the year? So if you go off on a crazy spending spree, you know, then no, you're not going to have the money that you could have if you start looking at it right now. So what we want to do is be on top at the end of the year. So my motto is we're rising to the top, and I want us to rise together. I want us to go out at the end of the year with monies in the bank, looking towards the new year, not that I'm rushing to go into the new year, but I just want us to start looking at who we really are and what we're doing. So I thank you for hanging out with me tonight. If you want to get in touch with me after the show and you want to know more about your finances and how you can be in the black at the end of the year, you can call me at 757-567-6734. Or you can email me at icwdirector@gmail.com or go to my website at www.issuesconcerningwomen.org. And you may also contact Veronica McMillan at letstalkveronica@gmail.com or go to her website at www.micrononprofitnetwork.com. So look forward to us coming back next week with some more tips and more information on how you can be in the black at the end of 2018. We want you to keep rising to the top. Thank you so much for tuning in to the show tonight. We're looking forward to being back with you again on next Thursday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So please tell your friends about the show. We are so glad that you hang out with us on every Thursday evening. So until next week, stay blessed. And do whatever it takes to be in the black. Take care now. Bye-bye. You have been listening to the Issues Concerning Women radio talk show with your hosts, Francine Humphrey and Veronica McMillan. We will see you next week at 6:30 p.m. on Thursday at 6:30 Eastern Standard Time. Take care now. Bye-bye. God bless.